السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Respected elders and honorable brothers, Abu Bakr al-Warraq, when he describes this month of Rajab, he says the month of Rajab is like the wind blows, and then the month of Shaban is like the accumulating and the accumulation of clouds, and then the month of Ramadan is like the rain comes down. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُرْسِلُ الذِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَحْمَتِهِ حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. This whole phenomenon Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala describes. It is Allah Ta'ala, before He sends His rahmah, Allah Ta'ala causes the winds to blow. What winds are we speaking about in this month of Rajab? Is that we begin to accumulate the ibadat. We begin to introspect, take stock, make tawbah to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and chalk our way forward. We all will agree, the stronger the wind, the more the clouds. We need to strengthen in our ibadat. We need to strengthen our hearts, our spiritual selves, and we need to move towards Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, so that when those clouds begin to accumulate, there will be rain-bearing clouds. And then in the month of Ramadan, when that rains of Allah's rahmah comes, حَتَّى إِذَا أَقَلَّتْ سَحَابًا ثِقَالًا سُقْنَاهُ لِبَلَدٍ مَيِّتٍ فَأَنْزَلْنَا بِهِ الْمَاءِ فَأَخْرَجْنَا بِهِ مِنْ كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ. That the rains come down, and then the different type of thamarat, the different types of fruit, the different types of vegetations, the different types of crops that grow in the ground, it will be the different kinds and the different types of ibadat that we'll be able to present to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. By way of our salat and our ibadat, in so far as our dhikrullah and all our charities and all our sadaqat and everything else, there needs to be a variety that we present to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in that month of Ramadan, and then we know the virtues of it. Just one hadith of the month of Ramadan: man sama imanan wa ihtisanan ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Man sama ramadana imanan wa ihtisaba. That person that fasts in the month of Ramadan with iman. Wa ihtisaba. Ihtisaba means he has the hope in Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Generally, we speak about the hope of reward. But ulama have expressed that the greater our aspirations be for the month of Ramadan, then the greater the ni'mats and the thawab, and together with that, the tawfiq of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will begin to descend into our hearts. Allah will guide our hearts. What aspirations should we have in this month of Ramadan? One is, Allah must give us the tawfiq to make ibadat. And one may be that this Ramadan should be better than the previous Ramadan. But the truth and the reality is, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّ عَبْدِي بِي Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states the hadith, a Qudsi from Allah Ta'ala, that I am to my servant what he thinks I am. Why don't we have those lofty aspirations insofar as our deen is concerned? Let us say to Allah, pray to Allah, seek from Allah, that all the Ramadans that I spent in my life, cumulatively, Ya Allah, make this Ramadan better than all those Ramadans. Inshallah, make dua Allah Ta'ala accept it. And what is required for these aspirations? What should we have in this month of Ramadan? What should we be looking for from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Besides the reward, the forgiveness from Allah. Ramadan starts with the letter R. Reward and forgiveness is the first thing we all look for from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But what about our relationship with Allah? What about kindling that relationship and reconnecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month of Ramadan? And what is really the barrier between us and that relationship with Allah Ta'ala? That connection with Allah Ta'ala is not a matter of a SIM card. It is not a matter of Bluetooth connection. But it is a matter of leaving sins and then taking that step forward towards Allah Rabbul Izzat and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. We take that one walk towards Allah. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala begins to run towards us. That is the kindness of Allah Rabbul Izzat. So that is that relationship and reconnecting with Allah Ta'ala. And then the next R we bring in is to revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our lives. Muhammad Kabir al-Rifai was a very great buzruq. He was a very pious personality. If we remember, many ulama have spoken about one great ni'mat that Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon this individual, that when he went to the Rauda Aqdas of our Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when he stood there and he said, As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then not only was wa alayka as-salam heard, but those around, they saw the Mubarak hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emerge. And he was able to put his hand into the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be that as it may, when somebody asked him, how did you reach such great and lofty ranks? He said, I traveled many paths in trying to gain this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then I found that the easiest, the simplest, and the most effective was that I bring the sunnah and revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life. No sooner did I start bringing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life, I found that I began to escalate many folds in my journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ True to the verse and the ayat of the Qur'an Sharif. Imam Baghawi rahimahumullah, he was a great muhaddith, an accredited muhaddith, very authoritative. Once he goes to sleep, and he sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dream, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for him, أَحْيَاكَ اللَّهِ كَمَا أَحْيَيْتَ سُنَّتِي May Allah Ta'ala revive you. May Allah Ta'ala grant you everything and refreshen you like how you revive my sunnah. So let us use this time between now and Ramadan, and let it not terminate in Ramadan, but let it then escalate that we reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We begin to revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the other R that we should worry about is that we begin to worry about the day of resurrection. We realize the shortness of this life. We realize that we are going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that realization needs to come into our hearts from now and then continue through the month of Ramadan until the day Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala take us from this world. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was a great sahabi, a famous sahabi, a very, very great Muttabi'a Sunnah, one that followed the Sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam par excellence. It is narrated about him that once he was sitting in a gathering of people and somebody started hurling some abuses and making some insinuating remarks against Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu sat there without any retaliation. He heard the person out, everybody else heard, and when that gathering was over, people went away, somebody asked him, Abdullah, you were here, you were right there. You just needed to respond and put the record straight. He said, Wallah, Allah is my witness, I was beginning to stand to respond to what the person had said, then I remembered and I realized my akhirat. I remembered and I realized my akhirat, and as soon as I remembered and realized my akhirat, I just sat. Now this is one important aspect about a preparation that we need to make. That we will make preparations sometimes insofar as our ibadat is concerned, and we will all accept our ibadat as an ibadat. But very few of us, and Allah give us the tawfiq, that we realize that our akhlaq, our response to people is also a form of ibadat. There may be times when people will say things, there may be times it will be hurtful, and there may be times that we have the ability to respond in a way that we can hurt that person to a greater extent than he's hurt us. But at that particular time, I realize that my akhlaq needs to be the shadow of the akhlaq of my Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I rather not respond. I rather lie low, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward me for that on the day of Qiyamah. And when that reality comes, then see how close we get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one was the reconnection with Allah, one was the reviving of the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then it was to reconnect and to rejuvenate this remembrance of the day of Qiyamah, and then of course to remain all the time in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To remain all the time in the remembrance of Allah simply means that we become aware of Allah and we remain in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umm Anas radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says once, she had gone to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam and she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for advice. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives her three advices. One is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, stay aloof, keep away from sin, because that is the best form of migration. Keep away from sin, because that is the best form of migration. If we just analyze the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why would a person migrate from one place to another? His migration may be for a very virtuous reason, like for example the deen of Allah ta'ala. He may migrate to propagate the deen, to establish the deen. He may migrate because he cannot practice his deen in a particular place. But greater than all of that is to migrate and leave sin. What the ulama speak about, al-hijratu min al-ma'siyati ila ta'atillah, hijrat from sin towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person may migrate for some material benefit. There may be better pastures on the other side. There may be a better job opportunity, business opportunity. South Africans, we will say, because of the crime rate and everything else, let us go to better pastures. Sometimes we will make it quoted very well for our children's sake. But the better migration than all of that is to migrate and leave sin. A person some many years ago said to us, Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahimahumullah, the Hazrat make dua, I am migrating to a particular country. Hazrat asked him, why are you migrating? He said, because of the crime rate in South Africa. So Hazrat said, acha, When you get there, give the Allah of that place my salams. If you think that there is another Allah controlling all of that, and the halat is going to change by going to change the place, it is not about that. It is migrating and leaving sin and the disobedience of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is the first advice that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given her. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, look after and safeguard the fara'id of deen. If you do that, that is the best form of jihad fi sabilillah. People speak about that desire to go out in the path of Allah. But let us start with our own selves. Our farz insofar as our salat are concerned, insofar as our zakat and our sawm and our hajj and all of that is concerned. And attached to that will be all the other obligations like the wajibat, etc. Then that is a form of jihad that we are making. And of course, Allah Ta'ala says, أَعْظَمُ دَرَجَةً عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. That person that makes hijrat and that person that makes jihad fi sabilillah, his darajat by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest and the most noblest. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umm Anas radiallahu ta'ala anha, the third advice and the final advice he had given her was that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Engage in the remembrance of Allah, because you will find that will take you the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insofar as our deeds are concerned, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insofar as our tongues are concerned, our bodies are concerned, that is what will take us closest to Allah, and that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Brothers and friends, the fact that will take us closest to Allah ta'ala and the barrier between us and Allah is our own sins and our own disobedience to Allah Rabbul Izzat. Each one of us know our own condition. A person went to Ibrahim ibn Adham, rahmatullah alayhi, and he said to him that these sins I cannot leave. And what should I do? Give me some advice that will cause me to stop sinning. So he said, simple, do not eat the rozi of Allah, that sustenance of Allah. He's given you this sustenance. You eat His rozi, you take His rahmah, and then you go against His commandment. So stop eating. Stop breathing that air that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given you. You are taking that rozi, getting that energy, and then you're violating the commandments of Allah ta'ala. So stop that. So the person replied, how can I stop that? How can I stop eating? How can I stop breathing? He said, then if that is not good enough for you, then simple, find another world. Go out of this earth. And there, go commit your sins. But how can you commit sins on the earth of Allah? As a matter of fact, if you look at it, very, very crucially, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this earth, Allah has made a masajid. Allah has made each spot of this earth a place of sajda. That is how valuable this earth is. Go further. That it is the oceans, you have water to purify your outer self. You do not find water, you have the land and the sand of this earth to purify yourselves and make tayammum. And on the same earth, you want to contaminate because of your sins to go find another earth. So he says, that I cannot do, there's no other earth. Then he said, if you do not want to do that, then go to some place where Allah Ta'ala will not see you. Switch off all the lights. Go somewhere. He said, Allah Ta'ala sees me everywhere. He said, okay, if that is not good enough, then when Malakul Maut comes to you, make an excuse and buy some time. In other words, send an apology to Allah Ta'ala. I'll be a bit late. So he said, how can I do that? That is also not possible, that I defer the time of maut, it is going to come. Then he said, then your last resort is that if Allah Ta'ala does not have raham on you on the day of Qiyamah, then somehow stop the angels from flinging you into the fire of Jahannam. So brothers and friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these opportunities, this month of Rajab, and then the month of Shaban, And these are the preludes to the month of Ramadan. But obviously, everything doesn't come to an end in the month of Ramadan. It has to continue and it has to go on. And if this is an attempt that we make, that we prepare ourselves, the bigger the function, the greater the preparation, the larger the occasion, the greater the preparation. If we condition our minds that the preparation needs to be one of a spiritual nature. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind. In the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, At-tahuru shatrul iman, that all we know. Then he says, Walhamdulillah, tamla'ul mizan. One alhamdulillah fills the scales. And subhanallahi walhamdulillah tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal-ard. Say subhanallah walhamdulillah, it is so valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is so accepted in the eyes of Allah ta'ala, it is so weighty that it fills the space between this earth and the skies. That is how valuable just saying subhanallah walhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us these opportunities. Let us try and take advantage over the opportunity. One thing about sin and the condition that prevails amongst us all, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيُحْرَمُ الرِّزْقِ لِلذَّنْبِ يُسِيبُهَا. That we all complain about the difficulties, we all complain about hard times, we all complaining about depression and challenges in life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that sometimes a person is deprived of his sustenance because of a sin that he is committing. And that becomes very, very difficult upon us. Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, he was a great tabi'i. He was that person that would interpret dreams. He was a student of many, many sahaba. He says once in the latter part of his life, he was indebted, he got involved in debt. And now the worry was, on the one hand, how to repay the debt, and on the other hand, why did this debt come upon me? I had a debt-free life. How did it come upon me? So he said, I began to ponder, and I began to think about the sins I committed, and I came to the conclusion that about 40 years ago, there was one slip-up. I slipped up in something, which he himself would say it was a sin. Everybody else would say it was a small error. And it is probably and possibly because of that, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deprived me and Allah ta'ala is putting me through these conditions. So friends, let us turn towards Allah. Let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Make tawbah to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And inshallah, let us have these aspirations, these lofty aspirations that this Ramadan will be better than the cumulative Ramadans of our lives. And for that, we need to make this preparation. May Allah ta'ala give me the tawfiq and Allah ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq. Wherever amongst us and in our families, in the ummah is ill and sick, Allah ta'ala grant them all shifa'i kamil ajil mustamir. Whoever has whatever difficulties, Allah ta'ala alleviate those difficulties. Wherever the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is suffering, Allah ta'ala alleviate and relieve the ummah of all the sufferings. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.